is to ask BES to work with Andrew to come back with recommendations that come through Andrew's office versus BES, so that we have a more impartial.
That was my motion.
Okay, yeah. Because you had said BES, you wanted them to come back with it.
No, I was just speaking to the motion is I move that we're going to hear testimony today, but we delay the vote on 465 until after the 2:30 time certain this afternoon, that the Bureau of Environmental Services is hereby directed to work with the Bureau of Financial Planning staff to return to council with an updated Exhibit A that reflects the average single-family residential bill increase of 5.5 to replace the current Exhibit A proposed by the Bureau of Environmental Services, which reflects a 6% increase. Since we're not doing expenditures today, just the rate, I can tell you, having lived with the BES budget, and we have an honest disagreement, for the past 6 months, I am quite certain that we can make the kinds of responsible reductions in expenditures that will get us to the 5.5, but that's a next week discussion.
Mayor, may I ask a question about your motion?
Yes.
So I appreciate that we spent a lot of time prior to today's hearing reviewing budgets and looking at trade-offs. And we've had a particular concern in the Parks Bureau that cuts made in one bureau that disproportionately impact us be considered. We are a city that funds things through different bureaus, and sometimes a cut in one bureau has an unintended consequence in another bureau. And I would support, Mayor, your motion to identify potential additional cuts, provided the council had the authority when we reconvene to consider both the 6% that's on the table and the revised 5.5.
My understanding is we have to establish any changes, as you've told me, we have to do any amendments today.
On the rate ordinances, they need to be considered today so they can be voted on next week in order to be in effect
and
by July 1st.
And I very much appreciate the mayor's approach on this. The concern I would have is that normally we have vetted the cuts and the impacts before we come to council. To set a ceiling and then not have the latitude to understand whether there's any further changes, I think puts the council potentially in a box. And what I would ask, Mayor, because I support your motion for scrubbing the budget to identify additional savings, but I would like to reserve the right for the council to set the rate somewhere between 5.5 and 6, and to put the marker down without seeing what the cuts would be and what my colleagues think would be the appropriate cuts, I think puts the cart before the horse on that point.
So I second the motion for the purpose of discussion, and I think also that you and I agree, Commissioner Fish, and I think that's what the mayor said, is that we're voting, this motion votes to delay till this afternoon to decide what the number is for the rate. And I also want to hear from citizens what that number should be. So am I correct, Mayor, that we're not saying by delaying to this afternoon that we're choosing either 5.5 or 6, but that we want the Bureau to come back?
The motion is that the Bureau comes back with the 5.5%, not again, because there are dozens of smaller rates that sort of roll up into this average of 5.5. I mean, that's just the normal nature of how the Bureau works. And that we come back with the 5.5 with the rates adjusted. And if not the definitive list of where the cuts would come from, something that the Bureau of Financial Planning based on this initial work. And again, folks, we've been at this, we've been at this for months, and there have been requests from the Bureau to come in with rate cuts, items that add up to this 1% rate cuts that I've sent back because I rejected, and we have to nail that down by next week, not today, but if you want examples of illustrative of the kinds of cuts, then I think we can come up with something by 2:30 today.
Mayor, may I move a motion? May I seek an amendment to your motion? My amendment would be that I support your motion, but would ask that when we reconvene, the council be presented with the 6% budget and a proposed 5.5% budget for discussion.
Well, we already have the 6% before us, so it's a...
So I actually very much agree with Commissioner Fish's intent. I see, having worked on these budgets for a long time, why there would be any reason that we couldn't have the specific 5.5% budget before us that included identifying what those cuts were, with the extra one half of 1%.
So the 6% is already before, so that serves as a point of discussion. My motion is that they come back for a 5% cut, and then 5.5% total rate increase, a 1% cut, and we can have discussion this afternoon on...
What Commissioner Fish is asking for is to know exactly what those cuts will be that will amount to a 5.5% raise.
And I said yes already to that. They might be illustrative because in addition to... We don't actually make decisions on expenditures legally until next week. But I said come back with the kinds of cuts that at least would be illustrative. My point is they can be further refined over the next week.
So, Mayor, I would be willing to withdraw my motion because I support your motion with the understanding that the council will have, based on the new information that's presented, we will have the authority to set the rate.
Absolutely.
This afternoon.
This afternoon.
But it has to be done this afternoon.
This afternoon.
Right. Either the amendment, yes.
So either
5.5
or 6. I support the mayor's motion.
And to further clarify, there'll be further citizen testimony this afternoon to discuss what the 5.5 proposal is.
Sure. Absolutely. Okay. So we're now going to vote on the motion if we're done discussing it. And again, the motion is to we'll take testimony today. We'll take testimony again this afternoon when the illustrative cuts come forward at the 5.5%. The Bureau of Financial Planning and BS will return ready to vote on a 5.5% reduction, technically and otherwise, if the council so chooses to.
So will the $450,000 in ongoing loss of revenue then account as an effective rate cut?
We didn't
quantify that, but
yeah.
As you just heard, it counts for 0.3%, so
I
or
think
0.25. So if we're effectively at 5.75 right now, then you're saying between now and this afternoon come up with an additional 0.25.
Right, and that's up to Bureau of Financial Planning to recommend to us whether they want to include it or not, and we can debate it, but at least give us the kind of options that we can decide either way on that issue.
Well, I'll play a role in that, too.
What's that?
I said I'll play a role in that, too, if that's all right.
Role in what?
Coming up with the recommendations.
I'm going to rely on Bureau of Financial Planning at this point. But, yes, we're all going to play a role in that. Carl, would you please call the vote?
Fish.
Aye.
Saltzman.
Aye.
Leonard.
Aye.
Fritz.
Aye.
Adams.
Again, the mayor's proposed budget came in with a 5.5% increase, not a 6.5 as recommended or as requested by the Bureau. The Bureau came back with a 6% increase. I am very interested in sticking with the 5.5. And I would find it incredibly hard to believe that in a budget this big, we cannot find the savings. Not the Washington Monument savings that gets folks riled up like the environmental community, but real savings, especially to administration and overhead. Aye. All right, we will now take testimony on item number 465.
We have about six people signed up. Janice Adler, John Gibbon, and Charlie Van Rossen.
Hi, welcome to the City Council. For those of you that haven't testified before, if you're here representing your own opinion, then only your name is required, not your phone number, not your address, only your name. If you're here as a lobbyist or authorized to represent the opinion of another group, whether profit, nonprofit, you need to disclose that per city code. So we're really glad that you're here. Would you like to begin?
Sure. I'm Janice Adler, and I'm chair of the PURB, Portland Utility Review Board. I'm here with fellow members. I'll let them introduce themselves, and I'm looking for one of them. Gordon, I know you're here. Come on up.
Well,
can he sit at the table with us?
We'll get another chair.
Get him a chair.
I make those.
So I'll let my fellow PURB members introduce themselves.
I'm Charlie Van Rossen with the Portland Utility Review Board.
I'm John Gibbon, West Side Representative to the Public Utility Review Board.
Gordon Feiner, Public Interest Advocate for the Portland Utility Review Board.
So the PURB's recommendations focus more on strategic issues rather than rates because, as Commissioner Leonard just said, in the course of reviewing the budget, we came up with ideas that may facilitate the PURB's job that weren't directly related to rates. but we'll talk about rates first. And I'm going to take this opportunity to talk about the PURB's decisions regarding water and solid waste rates right now, so we can get
everything
together.
Actually, we're just dealing with, legally we have to deal with each one separately.
Right.
So we'll make sure you come back.
Okay, well, so BES proposed a sewer rate increase of 6.5%. That rate was recommended by the PURB Sewer Committee and endorsed by the PURB, and as we just heard, it's been reduced right now to a proposed rate of 6% and even going to be less. So I can only talk about what we had an opportunity to discuss and vote on. And that could be it, since I was going to talk about the combined recommendations, but we can't.
Any other comments you'd like to make about the sewer rate issues?
Gordon's the one that we've split into subcommittees, and Gordon said.
Gordon, do you want to introduce yourself and make any comments about the sewer rate request?
If possible, I'd like to defer until this afternoon after I've had a
sure.
chance to hear
Absolutely.
The revisions.
Great. Well, thank you all very much. Appreciate you being here and your service on PURB.
How about a Richard Carpenter and a, I can't read the name, Balsager on Northwest Cornell Road?
Oh, wow. That's
Bob. That's your. Oh, sorry, Bob.
Salinger. Bob Salinger.
It's LB.
Bob needs to work on his handwriting.
I'm a lefty. We all have bad handwriting.
Welcome back.
I guess I'm the one. Excuse me. Good morning, Mayor and members of the City Commission. I'm here on behalf of Audubon Society of Portland to testify this morning. I'm also here as a longstanding member of the BES Budget Oversight Committee. I was actually an original member, I believe, 8 years ago. I think I'm one of two that have lasted this long. And, you know, I want to congratulate BES, first of all, on the process. I think it's gotten better every year. I think they do a very good job. I think they're transparent. They provide us with really good cookies. That's appreciated. I have no complaint with BES, and I think it really has been a process where they've come back and refined each year. It's also a huge expenditure of staff time. I think that's important to remember because we have long meetings. We have many meetings, and they put a lot into it. They bring all of their senior staff. There's commissioner staff there. So it's a big deal in terms of city costs. It's also a big deal for us as well. They happen in the evening, there's a lot of them. I'm not going to comment today on the actual cuts that we've heard being proposed. We are concerned. I'm going to comment on the rate, and we'd like to see the rate stay at 6.5%. If for no other reason, and I think there are substantive reasons that you'll get to next week, but today is a process issue. And we've been concerned over the last several years about the process because we meet early on. We meet in December, January, and February. We're not really provided with, at that point in time, there isn't good information on the table that we can actually use. So we spend a lot of time looking at details that turn out to be completely irrelevant. We worked very hard to get to 6.5% because that was what we were told. I believe we actually cut a lot of substance to get there. I'm very concerned about that rate. But you know, several months later, we have a completely different rate. So all that sort of parsing that we did and fine tuning and careful consideration has been rendered completely meaningless at this point. And year in and year out, we've raised a concern that if you want to have an oversight committee, you need to give it a meaningful role. And I'm not questioning, I want to be very clear here, I'm not questioning your prerogative to disagree with us, overrule us, make your own decisions. I completely and totally respect that. What I am concerned about is really a fake public process and fake public oversight where we pretend that we're having citizen input, but in fact, we play almost no role in the final decision because the timing of what we do is completely negates our recommendations. And you know, I think there are ways to give us a much more substantive role. I think having us meet up until the end of the budget process, I think bringing us back in if major circumstances change, I think you know, giving us a couple of weeks' notice on these kinds of things so we can actually have a real discussion about it and make substantive recommendations based upon everything that we learned and all the work that we did back at the beginning of the year. So I am concerned about lowering the rate even to 6%. I'm very concerned about 5.5%. I hope in the future that you'll consider incorporating the Budget Committee in a more meaningful way so that we really do have input into the final decisions that are made. I respect your right to disagree with us and not take those recommendations, but at this point, the recommendations that we made and the work that we did, I think, was a terrible investment to the city's time and our time as well. So thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Salinger.
Thank you for your service also on the Budget Advisory Committee.
Thank you.
All right. The hearing, this item 465 per approval of council motion is held over until after the time certain at 2:30 this afternoon. So that will approximately be about probably 3:10 p.m. this afternoon. I'll make sure we don't start the discussion before 3:10, so you can have a little bit of certainty, those of you that are here to discuss sewer rates. All right, that moves us to water and water-related services. Can you please read the title? First hearing, no vote today. Votes are next week for council calendar item number 466.
Authorize the rates and charges for water and water-related services during the fiscal year beginning July 1, 2011 to June 30, 2012, and fix an effective date.
Commissioner Randy Leonard.
Thank you. I'm going to ask Director Schaff to make the presentation.
Good morning. I'm David Schaff. I'm the director of the Portland Water Bureau, and with me is Dr. David Hassan. He is the director of the finance department for the Water Bureau. You should have in front of you my presentation. I'm going to go through it quickly and be available to answer any questions and then leave time for public testimony. Budget overview, I'm on the second page. Our total budget is just under $200 million, $198.8 million of that.
Excuse me one sec, David.
You haven't gotten it yet?
Yeah, and we're trying
right.
to.
Sorry.
Just maybe.
There's a little bit of mission creep here. You were giving the sewer presentation.
Maybe we can wait till Carla can get that up on the screen, too.
I don't think she's going to have anything to put up.
Oh,
on
I'm
the
sorry.
Screen.
Okay.
We're not quite as fancy as BES. So you have in front of you, second page is where I started. Our total budget is just under $200 million of that. My operating budget is $76.5 million, and our capital budget is $122 million. We bring in rates and charges $131.4 million. Our retail rates bring in about $111 million. Our wholesale customers, we have 19 wholesale customers, brings in just over $16 million. SDCs, $1 million, and then other fees and charges, just under $3 million. We have a total of 627 positions authorized in our budget. Next page, you know what our primary rate drivers have been for this fiscal year, but I'll go over them again. Our capital budget, our CIP, is about 2.1%. Of that, our LT2 components, the costs that we have been expending on complying with the LT2 regulation of treatment and the reservoirs is about 3.5%. Our interstate facility has an impact of about 0.8% this fiscal year. We have put out, deferred, and pushed off into future years some of our capital projects. We have had underspending of our capital budget, and as a result, we get a 2% benefit from that. And then cost savings to projects, 0.2%. So the overall CIP component of our 12.9% rate increase is 2.1. Economic factors, 3.2%. That includes inflation, the COLA that the council has agreed to with our labor, under our labor contracts, PERS changes, health benefits, that's 3.6. We are getting lower interest earnings. That has a 0.6% impact on us. But we've also had very favorable rates in our borrowing and in our bond sales, and that's had a benefit to us of approximately 1%. You've heard us talk about the deferral of prior year rate increases. That's a significant portion of this year's increase, 5.7%. If you'll remember in 08, 09, 09, 10, and no, excuse me, I got to back up a second. 06, 07, 07, 08, and 08, 09, the council made a number of decisions that had rate impacts. And rather than take those rate impacts in those fiscal years, they took a portion in that year and then spread them out, evened them out over the next several years beyond that. That's what this is, that 5.7%.
And we spent that money, right? So that we did we bond for that? Is that what we have to pay back?
No, much of it was increased maintenance. That's our operating budget. Some of it was increased our CIP. Some of it was, for instance, our wholesale contracts. We made changes. Part of it is our decrease in demand. So it is a combination of decisions we made consciously over those 3 years that had rate impacts that we then spread out over future years.
So could we now choose to spread them out further or delay them since we're still struggling with the recession?
You could, but then that...
That increases next year's rates and the years after.
Rate by that amount. So you end up then having even larger rate increases in the future.
Commissioner, part of the means by which we were able to defer those rate increases was we had adequate fund balances at that time to do so. Those fund balances have diminished to the point where we can't spread them out much longer.
But are we paying, what are we paying for with that 5.7% increase?
You're getting rates back up to the point where the...
So what costs are we paying for? What services,
we made
staff?
So in 06, 07, we made a conscious decision to increase maintenance in the Bureau. We had impacts from one of the things that you just talked about a little while ago, the Benson Bubbler charge. We hadn't been charged for the Benson Bubblers. That was a new charge. We had paving costs. We have the EBS project. We had our new wholesale contracts.
Those had an impact
in 6, 7.
And some of those are capital costs like paving, but some of them are people costs in maintenance and such. So is this increase
the
to
paving's
continue?
Not a capital cost. That's paying for when we
people
dig a
who
hole.
Do it?
No, when we dig a hole to fix something or to replace a hydrant, for instance, then we pay maintenance to repave.
But what I'm not understanding is why would we be paying more this year for paving that we did 3 years ago?
Because the impact, we chose not to make that impact. We chose not to fully pay for that impact that year that we made those decisions. We spread them out.
How did you pay for that,
years.
Though? Where did the money come to pay for that
used
paving?
We used our fund balances.
So are we now restoring the fund balances?
No, we've brought our fund balances down to where we believe they should be.
Right. So what are we paying for with this increase in this current year? Staff to continue doing the paving, the maintenance and such?
You're paying for those decisions that we made back in 06, 07, yes.
Which were to increase service levels on an ongoing basis for the most part. And those service levels are still occurring today.
So we're
paying not fully funded.
We're paying for a heightened service level.
Yes.
This year.
Yes.
So some of the increased service level costs were paid for by the stabilization fund or all of them up until now?
Some of them were paid for by fund balances, but that is, as you know, Mayor and Commissioners, is a one-time source of money for the most part, and it was an ongoing expense that eventually you have to raise the rates to fund on an ongoing basis.
When you say increased level of service, do you mean maintenance of the system, and is that based on life cycle? It's also based on you're starting to get charged for the first time sewer rate for the Benson Bubblers?
All of the above, and including other things such as I mentioned, the wholesale contracts. Remember, we signed new wholesale contracts back in 2006, and there was a cost to those wholesale contracts, and we spread the costs out over a series of fiscal years moving forward.
Why are the Portland ratepayers paying for the wholesale contract costs?
We consciously made a decision to coming to an agreement with our wholesale providers. We made concessions in order to get long-term agreements with our wholesale customers. That has an impact.
Give some examples of those items were that we...
The primary change was we wanted long-term agreements, 20-year agreements, and we got
rate of return.
A lower rate of return in exchange. And those are, so that creates a guarantee of financial stability for us for the next 20 years.
You need to be careful in how you're addressing that. We are not shouldering an extra cost.
No.
Let me finish.
Right.
The increased revenue that we would get is not as high as we used to have, and if we didn't have that revenue, these rates would be 20% higher.
Right. That's the impact, exactly. We're
not subsidizing anybody else. In fact, to be real clear, our wholesale contracts do subsidize our rates to the effect of around 20%.
20% of our revenue comes from our wholesale contracts. That's correct. And if we didn't have those wholesale contracts, our rates would really go up.
And I want to finish that so that people understand why. And the reason is we have the same infrastructure to maintain. We have the same amount of flow going through. By having wholesale contractors, we can reduce the cost of our maintenance of our infrastructure and our system and reduce our rates by selling water to places like Gresham and Tualatin Valley and now Sandy, Oregon, and other places.
We have a take-or-pay provision in our wholesale contracts that guarantees that they will pay for a certain amount of water, whether they use it or not. And that is a huge benefit to the ratepayers of Portland. For 10 years for some of our wholesale contracts and for a full 20 years for some of our others. And Sandy, we're looking at a 25-year contract.
If I could just, if I recall, haven't we had more competition in the region where other local governments have options other than us?
Absolutely.
And have developed their own treatment because they feel they would pay less than our costs, and therefore it was cost-effective for them to develop their own supplies?
Yes. As a matter of fact, this year we were notified by the City of Tigard that they expect to be ending their wholesale contract with us in 5 years' time. That was why a number of our West Side wholesale customers insisted on 10-year deals as opposed to 20-year deals, because a number of our wholesale customers are looking at alternatives to Portland.
That's all very helpful. I, in the work session, asked for a projection for longer than 5 years of what our rate increases would be. And in light of this discussion, I'd like to see from 2006 is when we started doing the deferrals. Is that correct?
That's correct.
From 2006 to 2000, at least to 2016, what are your projected rate increases and why?
We have provided those, but I would be glad to provide them again.
Yeah, I'm sorry. You have provided a lot of information. I must have missed that one.
Not a problem.
Thank you.
We will make sure we do that. Next rate. Primary rate driver has to do with retail demand. We've continued to see a reduction in our retail rates, or our retail demand, excuse me. And as I've said before, we are a primarily fixed cost system. So if we produce 36 billion gallons 1 year and we only produce 35 billion gallons the next year, and that's about what it's been, then we still have the same relative costs. Our costs in general don't go down, with the minor exception of things like chemicals. We have reduced our budget by the equivalent of 1.4% in our rate. And then we've had other impacts. So, for instance, we've had reduced non-rate revenues. We have less reimbursable work, so that when we do a work for PBOT or BES or Parks, there's less of that now. So and there are fewer SDCs that we're bringing in, so that's had an impact. We have seen an increase in the number of people who take advantage of our low-income discount program, and we have a slightly higher bad debt expense. Those two things, less reimbursable work and the income discounts and the bad debt expense, adds up to about a 1.6% impact on our rates, and then just general cost changes. So, for instance, we have a higher general fund overhead cost. That's a 0.5%. And the ECC coming online a year before we had planned had a 0.2% increase.
So I'm just wondering why the budget reduction is shown as 1.4, when on the next page it says 1.5.
I asked the same question.
Okay.
The rate, the 1.4 is the rate impact on page 3. The 1.5 was on our overall budget. And they just happen to look alike, but they're not the same. So a 1.5% reduction on our budget does not result in a 1.4% reduction in the rate. So looking at the next page, we were required to do originally a 1.5% one-time budget reduction, but we began in September with our budget, and it was clear that in order to meet our original rate projections from last year, that our 1.5% was going to have to be a mandatory reduction. So I made that decision several months ago. I understand that since then, the 1.5% one-time cuts have been other bureaus have been directed to make them permanent, but we made ours permanent from the get-go. That adds up to about $2.5 million, $1.5%, $1.2 million comes from my operating budget. We're eliminating 7 positions. We're reducing our electricity budget. This is something that we have a very small amount of our budget is devoted to electricity, but we have a very variable amount that we use depending on whether or not we have to use groundwater. So we've taken a very hard look at our electricity budget for groundwater and taken, so far, the history, the worst-case scenarios that we have seen and said so many days of a turbidity event, like the one we had over Martin Luther King weekend, as well as supplement over a summer, and said, okay, we can trim that budget back and generate some savings. So we have, we believe, enough budgeted in our budget to cover all the events that we've seen when we have a turbidity event and a summer supplement event. We still think we have enough budgeted to cover the use of groundwater for that. We've also cut our professional services, seasonal part-time staffing, and we're going to be doing less tree trimming in the various facilities and grounds that we own. That's a reduction in one of our interagencies with parks. As I said, they're being taken as ongoing cuts, not one-time cuts. And in addition, we have $1.3 million in our capital budget that we're reducing on a one-time basis.
So when the mayor asked you to cut more with the 5.5 overall rate?
Yes.
What are you cutting with that?
The 1% is tents here and tents there. We have, as I mentioned in a previous slide, that we have some good benefits from our lower borrowing rate. So our recent bond sale savings, that generated 0.2%. The scholarship programs that the mayor decided would not be funded in part by sewer and water, that resulted in a 0.1% change. We're going to reduce the amount of time that our bubblers operate. That will result in a 0.1% savings. One of the things we were talking about when Dean was up here is that $450,000. Well, $100,000 of that is a direct result of our reducing the amount of time bubblers operate. We're going to cut them down. I don't know if you know this, but they operate on timers. We're going to reduce the time they operate every day for 2 hours. And then we're actually going to shut them down, all of them down, for a month in the winter, January, February, which is actually what we did this year because of the cold weather. So we're going to reduce the operation of our Benson bubblers. That'll save us 0.1%. Powell Butte, we're going to save 0.2% as a result of a favorable bid on the Powell Butte project. And then the BES fountain discharges, the decorative fountains, adds up to 0.4%.
But most of those you were going to do anyway. We knew about the scholarships. Wasn't that part of your original budget?
The scholarships were part of our original budget, and when we were looking at 13.9, they were in there on an ongoing basis. Well, when the mayor decided to cut them, that was a 0.1% benefit.
So I wonder if that's the case in BES, whether we're counting that in BES.
I don't know if they were counting on them as ongoing or not, but we had. If you look at then the next page, page 5, just to remind you that over the last 4 years, we have reduced our overall budget, both a combination of operating budget and CIP, by about $9 million. And I'm not going to go through each one of these other than to note at the very bottom, we've reduced 31 full-time positions, including the 7 that we're proposing to reduce in this fiscal year. Page 6, as I mentioned, our overall effective rate retail rate increase is 12.9%. On our low-income discount program, the discount is for a single-family residential customer. It amounts to 50%, and it's based on 500 cubic feet a month, and the total will be approximately $12.38 per month, so $148 per year in the total discount. We also provide crisis vouchers, the $150, the safety net that was created in, I believe it was 06, 07, fixture repairs, payment plans, and other things that we do to try and help our customers who are either low income or are struggling, lost the jobs, having medical expenses, that sort of thing. System development charges have a very modest increase of 1.3%. They go from basic increase from $1,710 to $1,732, and we are well below all of the other jurisdictions in the region. We continue to provide waivers for affordable housing and temporary ADU exemptions.
So I'm sorry, I'm mm-hmm. struggling with the two cuts. I thought that your proposal before was 12.9%.
No, it was 13.9%. And then the mayor directed us to trim an additional 1%.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. And then, as you know, a couple of years ago, we began offering fixed prices for services, mains, other facilities. That's proven to be very popular with developers. Some of those prices have gone up. Some have actually gone down. So certain main extensions actually are cheaper, while some are a little bit more expensive. If you look at page 7, what is of interest to most people, our typical residential customer who uses 600 cubic feet per month, their monthly bill, and this is water only, will increase $3.19, so from an average of $24.66 to an average of $27.85. As I mentioned, the qualified low-income residential monthly bill will go up $1.42 from $10.96 to $12.38 with that discount. A medium commercial account, like a Fred Meyer, a Safeway, that sort of thing, their monthly bill increases from $73.80 from $571.39 to $645.19. And as a reminder, water bills are only about 6% of the typical utility services for retail residential customers. If you look at the next page, page 8, we have the current combined water sewer bill, and then the mayor's proposed on there. So our current water monthly bill will go from $24.66 to $27.85. We put this together based on the mayor's proposed budget. So the typical sewer stormwater monthly bill is $56.26, and the typical residential customer will go from $77.99 to $84.11 on a combined bill, so up $6.12. And
David, can I just ask a question?
Yes.
Those of us who get our bills pay a combined bill. So
yes, you do.
It sometimes gets a little confusing separating them out and looking at the percentages. So the combined impact of this proposal would mean a 7.8% increase on my rate.
Based on the mayor's proposed budget,
yes. On the mayor's proposed budget. And could you just remind us, because that's a blended rate, and recognizing that the water and sewer component is different, just remind us again the percentages. Water is roughly what percent of the total bill, and sewer is roughly what percent?
It's generally a third to two-thirds. What I tell people...
Which is which?
Water to sewer.
Okay.
So what I tell people is when you get your quarterly bill, divide it by three, and then you'll have your monthly bill, and then generally divide it by three again, and you'll have the water portion, and the other two-thirds is the sewer, stormwater, Portland Harbor Superfund, that sort of thing. If you turn the page number nine, you'll see a bar chart that shows you what the average Portland residential customer spends in utilities. And we are and continue to be the cheapest of those utilities, and we're the one that's absolutely required. So as you can see, $27.85 for water. It's just 3 cents higher than the average telephone, slightly higher than the solid waste and recycling. These reflect the new solid waste rates as well as the mayor's proposed sewer rates. Internet, sewer, cell phone, natural gas, cable, electricity. Our average residential customer pays $100 a month versus $27.85 for water. Now, obviously, people will say, well, but that's not what I pay. I have gone through this and applied it to myself, and consistently, and that's about right. I pay more for cable, but I pay less for a cell phone. But as a general rule, water is the cheapest utility in town. And then the last page is just a comparison of, as I mentioned, our SDC charges are very favorable in comparison to the rest of the region. That's the last page. We're at 1732 versus Beaverton of 3100, Tigard of 3800, Gresham of 4100, and TVWD of 5500. At this, I am done with my formal presentation and would be glad to answer any questions you might have. And Commissioner Fritz, I know I owe you projections through the next 5 years.
Well, no. If I could ask. So we, with the LT2 decision on covering of the reservoirs having been moved from the federal to the state level, we will be applying for a variance of that at the state level, as we did at the federal level. And the timing of that
for treatment.
And the timing for that is in
shooting for June 6th.
And how big is the driver in the budget of the Powell Butte Reservoir? How much of that is an increase? And then how much more are we spending on treatment LT2 related issues in this next year's budget?
I don't know that we've broken out the individual. Yeah, we've got the reservoirs. So from a reservoir standpoint, I haven't broken out Powell Butte versus Kelly Butte versus Washington Park. But in this fiscal year, it's 1.7. Yeah, 1.7% of the overall rate increase is attributable to reservoirs.
Is that in our handout?
No.
Oh, it's not.
No, I mean the mayor asked me a question.
David, can you say that again?
Yes. Of our 12.9% rate increase, 1.7% of it is attributable to the work we are going to be doing in the next fiscal year on reservoirs. And it's mostly Powell Butte, but it's not all Powell Butte. Part Kelly Butte's in there as well. 1.8% of the percent of our 12.9 is attributable to treatment. So remember, I said in rate drivers, CIP, 3.5% was LT2. Well, that's what I just gave you, 1.8 for treatment and 1.7 for reservoirs.
And then what, in terms of the, you said 1.9% for the treatment issue?
1.8.
And what are the kinds of activities is included in the 1.8 of expenditures? I just want to air that out.
Associated with the design of the UV treatment facility.
Other discussion?
I have a couple questions, if I could. David, could you just remind us on the low-income discount program, which would provide a 50% discount for qualified households and would apply to any increase that the council may vote on. Who is eligible for that program?
Residents of Portland that meet certain income criteria, and we contract with the county social service agencies to vet whether or not an individual qualifies.
And do you, if you remember, do you know what the floor is?
No, but I can find out. I can give that information.
I'm assuming it's 60% of MFI or 80% or something consistent with what we do in other programs. But and so that's your lower. That's a low income senior. That's a family of modest means. So there'd be people who fall within certain income limits, and they get a 50% discount. Correct.
Right.
Okay. On the 1.8% that you say is attributable to, that you've identified as attributable to treatment. Mm-hmm. That's 1.8% of the 12.9. So
right.
That's roughly, what, 10% of the increase? I always get this confused, but we're talking about 1.8, but it's 1.8 divided into 12.9, and so it's 10, 12%, something like that, 13, whatever.
You're the only person that would ask me to do math off the top of my head.
10% would be 1.3.
So it's 13% or something. And if the council determined that if you determined that the variance application is so strong and you believe that it was so clear that we were likely to prevail, what options do you have to defer that spending until there's a ruling?
I would say not very much. We are at the 60% design stage now. We need to finish the design of the UV treatment plant because we don't anticipate.
I think disrespectful to Dave.
Yeah, the the room in which we're sitting is intended as a place where we air out all points of view and all questions and all discussion. And we deal with a lot of contentious issues here. And so if you like something, you're free to do this. And if you don't like something, you're free to do that. But clapping and hissing and uttering and things like that doesn't really facilitate everyone feeling comfortable to get their views out. So we'd ask that you stick to the decorum of the chambers.
Thank you, Mayor. And if I could just add to that, we often get criticisms for conducting city business in forums outside of this forum. And so in order to invite the public into our deliberations, we often ask questions in a public forum designed to ventilate an issue. If our reaction as a community when we hear something we disagree with is to express a hiss or through some other conduct disapproval to the person who's speaking, what we're saying is that we are uncomfortable having that discussion. And just as we welcome counterpoints of view, I think when a professional in the city comes forward and gives his best answer, we owe him the respect of letting him speak and state his opinion. And if someone in this chamber disagrees with what he says, then there will be plenty of time today to hear that point of view, and we will afford you the same respect that I think we owe David Schaff. So on the 1.8% for treatment, the bulk of that expense then goes to continuing design work to be prepared in the event that we are not successful
right.
with the variance.
Right.
And David.
So can I add to that, though, just to paint the picture? Remember that there is a firm deadline, April 1, 2014. We have to be in compliance with the treatment portion of LT2. Now, that means that if we are unsuccessful in obtaining a variance, and we are putting together a really good case to obtain a variance. But if we're unsuccessful, we have to start building by about this time next year. And so I have to have the facility designed. We have to do all of that work so that if we get a decision that's adverse to us at the end of this year, which is what we would anticipate the timing being, we have to be done and be ready to start moving forward on building.
So David, if you are successful later this year, then the 1.8% component of this would be reduced proportionally based on any money that you don't have to expend for the balance of the fiscal year?
There might be some portion of that this year, but really the benefit would be in July of 2012 because that's when we would have a rate impact from having to build something, and we're now not going to have to build it. So you'd likely see that in out years. You're not going to see much of it this year.
If I could, I'd like to ask you an additional question that I asked you privately, and I think it's useful to air this publicly. If you were to defer any portion of the Washington Park component of LT2, which is downstream, if you were to defer any portion of that and stage it differently, would there be any savings reflected in the proposed rate increase for the next fiscal year?
It'd be pretty small. There'd be some. We only have, I think it's, I want to say, $200,000 in this coming fiscal year for Washington Park. So $2.5 million in this fiscal year for Washington Park and next year. Yeah. That would be in a capital. I'm not sure what $2.5 million in capital is, but it's...
1 or 2/10 of a percent.
So, yeah, it would definitely have an impact, but it wouldn't have much impact.
Thank you.
And what about that same question on the difference between Kelly and Powell?
It would have a bigger impact because we have a fairly modest amount of money put in our CIP for Washington Park this year, next year, and the year after. But we have some fairly significant amounts of money put in for this fiscal year, this upcoming fiscal year for Powell Butte. We are going to be sitting in front of you next week with the report from the procurement officer awarding a contract for 80 some odd million dollars and beginning construction July 5th. So that has a fairly big impact this fiscal year.
And how much is in the rate for Kelly?
Mayor, I'll have to...
You can get back to
me. Yes, I will.
Why don't we pursue a delay that I understood was pursued by New York?
We have to have a reason.
Okay.
And New York had a reason. New York got a deferral. They were required to cover their Hillview Reservoir, and I forget how big it is, but it's an extremely big reservoir. They were required to cover it by 2014. They asked for and received an extension of that deadline to 2028 based on their explanation that they have a number of things that they have to do in their system before they can safely take Hillview and take it offline and cover Hillview. If they do not do that, they successfully argued to the EPA and the state, New York State Department of Environmental Protection, that water quality and public health could be at risk. So they made a good argument that they had to do all these other things before they could do Hillview. We don't have that argument.
Are there other factors, though, although not the same argument, there are not other factors that you think would be convincing to the regulators on a delay, such as waiting for the LT2 decision on treatment?
Not that I'm aware of. If you go back to the EPA's instruction to us, is that they said that they would... They would only approve a schedule. I'm paraphrasing because I don't have it sitting in front of me, but they would only approve a schedule that showed Portland taking immediate steps towards compliance. So saying that, well, we don't want to do that anymore, it doesn't fit that description. The state now has primacy. The state has told us that if we hit a snag, for instance, in construction, we could request an extension. But they have not indicated that we could simply come back and say, you know what, we want to renegotiate the compliance deadline.
That's for storage?
That's for storage, the reservoirs.
Have we asked them?
No.
Which state bureau is it now?
The Department of Health.
Department of Health.
So it's not.
So it's called the Drinking Water Program.
We're all, for those of you in the room, I mean, we're more used to dealing with DEQ, so we're all trying to get our heads around. This is a different department.
So our schedule is we have to be complete. We have to have the reservoir, the reservoirs at Mount Tabor disconnected from the drinking water system by December 31st, 2015.
So we need to back up, and I may be over emphasizing certain points. When Commissioner Fritz asked you if we asked them, I don't think you gave a complete answer. You did talk to the governor's office yesterday, and you did inquire about...
Last week, yes.
You did inquire about what the conditions would be to obtain a variance, and his answer to you was, I think you have a transcript.
Yes. There was a KABU interview of Dave Leland. He's the director of the drinking water program that was aired last week, and the question that he was asked was, can the state grant an extension to the LT2 compliance deadline? And the answer was, I think that's actually within our authority. We'd have to hear from the Water Bureau why that would be necessary. So I called Dave Leland and said, Dave, was that all you said, or did some of it get edited out? And this is his response. The context of my comment was a question about a hypothetical extension of the current agreed construction schedule for remedying the open reservoirs under the LT2 rule. I said that a reservoir construction schedule extension request from the Bureau could be considered by us in the event that some unforeseen snag cropped up in the actual construction of these complex reservoir projects.
Thank you.
Any other issues to air out? Okay, then let's begin with testimony.
Perb?
Yeah, Perb. If folks from Perb would please come forward. Public Utility Review Board, Perb.
You want me to read the Water Bureau?
Yeah. Again, John Gibbon, Westside representative to the Perb on the Water Bureau issue. The Water Bureau proposed original proposed rate increase was 13.9%. The PERB Water Committee took no position on the proposed rate increase, focusing instead on strategic issues. PERB did consider and discuss the Water Bureau Advisory's proposal for a 13% rate increase. A motion to endorse the 13% rate increase did not pass, and four members abstained. One reason given for the abstention was that 40% of this year's proposed rate increase was due to deferred rate increases from fiscal years 07, 08, and 09, and current PERB members did not feel comfortable with endorsing that because I've got to be honest with you. I sat through the discussions. Mr. Hansen gave us a very lengthy explanation of it, and it's really hard to get your head around the implications of what happens when you defer maintenance and expenditures. And part of it is, as I understand it, that because the council chose in those years to pay down a certain amount of the reserves that the Water Bureau had to sustain the Water Bureau, that now when we have to do the borrowing, we're up against some fiscal limits in terms of those deferred rate increases. So we end up having to pay for those increases to some extent in order to carry on with that program. And I should note that on that, we recommended that the council should direct the Water Bureau to create an internal process to heighten the transparency regarding deferred rate increases. The goal is to inform ratepayers of when and why rate increases are deferred and the impact of the rate deferral on service levels. I understood from my conversations with the Water Bureau that this deferred rate increase related back to the size of the rates we were facing because of some of the sewer components of our combined rate. And, you know, hindsight being 2020, it wasn't so good because LT2 kicked in on us. But the other side of it was I certainly understood why you didn't want to, with those rates coming on for the sewer part of it,